as the ushers come around, you can grab a seat. We're going to jump right into it. It's amazing how you start thinking about it. You know, I just turned myself off. That's fun. It's amazing how you start thinking about the giving. You know what I'm saying? Some people think of it. We've been part of church. Some people think of it because we're not profit, just so you know. So we're not profit. We don't take anything. So when you give, you get tax receipts. Even if you give out of your business, it's tax credit. Like, we just give. And so what's amazing about it is that, but there's something about stepping out. There's something about stepping out. Today, and the reason why I bring that up is because we're doing this whole series called The Bridge. Because everybody knows, and what a bridge does is take you from one side to the other side. And what I've been sharing for the last few weeks is about how Moses, that generation, had to leave because they were just doing circles. And a young guy named Joshua had to lead this new generation into the promised land, because this is the same promises that God gave Moses in that generation. But here's the problem. Moses was trying to take slaves that were over here out of slavery, but the problem is they couldn't get into the promises because they couldn't get the slave mentality out of their heart. And just like all of us, maybe us or somebody we know, you know that God has something more for them, but the problem is they get stuck in their own slave mentality and they can't go to the other side. And so what begins to happen is a series of things begin to happen, and the one generation that Moses was leading, now check this out, was talking about the promises and talking about the promised land, where Joshua's generation got to live in the promised land. And I'm telling you, as a believer, I don't want to be a person who just talks about the good things that the Lord has done, or we should be talking, don't get me wrong, but I want to be a person who lives in the promises of the Lord. You guys with me on this? I think what the world needs is not just people who talk about it, but people who walk in it. And it's interesting, just as Moses had to cross the Red Sea, Joshua had to cross the Jordan River. And last few weeks we've been talking about how God told Joshua to tell the priests to go ahead and they need to enter into the Jordan. So when Moses' crew, he lifted up his staff and the Red Sea parted. Where in Joshua's generation, God was saying, listen, you guys, I did miracles. You still have slave mentality in your heart. You didn't get it. So I'm not going to do it for you all the way. I want you to be participants in the miracles. Is that making sense? I want you to get your own feet wet. You want to see me move, then you get your feet wet. And so it's interesting. He tells the priests, you go ahead, take the Ark of the Covenant, and this is flood stage. So there's two options. Either a miracle is going to happen, or they're going to be over their head and they're going to be down the river. Isn't that crazy? So all of a sudden, the priests with the ark step in the water first, and it says that the water started being held back. And as they cross, and here's my favorite part. I didn't even realize this until a year ago. As the priests got in there, it says that they're holding the ark, and they stood at the halfway point in the river, and they made sure everybody crossed to the other side. Isn't that cool? What a cool picture. What a cool picture of us as priests, but just as Christians who have the Lord's presence, that we help hold back the world's waves and destruction, and we saying, we're going to help people get to the other side. Like, how can I help you get to the other side? And this is what's happening. And this is even in the verse, this is what's happening is, as Christians, we're saying you're living not just in sin, but a slave mentality over here on this side, but God has more for you over there. Let me help you get to the other side, because that's the promises. You guys with me this morning? Is this true? And so today, here it is. So my thought for you today is I'm going to be as practical as possible, and here's the practicality today. We're going to use scripture too, but I'm going to park right here. As they're in the river, how does Joshua influence a generation to get to the other side? Because here's the deal. There's many people in here who don't like change. There's many people in here that even when the waters parted and you can see a path, you're like, I don't know, right? There's a lot of people who just say, I like things the way they are, and I don't want to move over here. So the question I have is, how do you influence people to get to the other side? Because I'm telling you, if you are a follower of Christ, everybody has somebody and people in their life that you have the ability to influence to bring to the other side. Is this true? It might be your kids, it might be family, it might be your coworkers, but it might be people you shop with, whatever it is. We are all called to be missionaries and bring people to the other side. So here's how it looks. We're going to jump right into it. I think what's interesting is as a pastor, I watch these documentaries, and one of the documentaries I watched was a guy who has a megaphone, he's preaching. And I saw this guy preaching Jesus from a megaphone, and I'm not saying it's bad, but I remember he had a little soapbox, and he stood up on it, and he's like, "You're all going to hell!" You know what I'm saying? You know, and I'm going, I know he's on a platform, but I'm not sure how big of a platform he has. Is that making sense? Because not saying that's bad, it's just not my approach. But I think all of us, you build platforms in your life and you get credibility. People listen to you. People come to you. And if you can share until you're blue in the face, but if no one really trusts what you say, it's going to be hard to receive what you're saying. What's interesting is when you build a platform of love with someone, they will value your opinion, they will seek your counsel, and they will stand with you. For instance, we've all heard it said, people need to feel your care before they hear your message. And it's interesting about that is a different way to phrase that. This is a phrase that most of you might know. People don't care what you know until they know how much you care. Let me repeat that. People don't care what you know until they know how much you care. Because as I meet people in Stillwater, I'm telling you, when we started Watermark Church, our goal wasn't to build banners and say, Watermark Church is here, recognize us. Our goal as our staff was to build a platform of love and caring for the community and the people. So when we share Jesus, it comes to a point of it's trustworthy. They know who we are. We're trying to draw them in love. And so I think what's interesting about it, that's how it works. So there needs to be investment. Relationships take time. Marriages take time. Influencing your kids take time. You know what I'm saying? Influencing community takes time. Influencing your neighborhood takes time. Colossians 4:5 says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. So here's the thought. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, not just crazy, wisdom, making the most of every opportunity. This operation center, blessing opportunity, every opportunity. So to inspire others and to influence others, I have a few simple points. So here we go. Number one, show ahead. Show ahead. I know it sounds funny to say, but show ahead. What Joshua did to these Israelite people was he said in 3 days, God told him in 3 days, and he was telling these people, 3 days, we're going to cross, we're going to step foot in the water, and then the priests are going to go forward because our promised land is over there. What you need to do is remind the people in your life, and this is what whenever I sit down and have pre-marriage or dealing with a couple or dealing with a single person or dealing with anybody and we're going through tragedies and going through stuff, here's what I always remind myself. God has more. God has more. God's not done with you yet. If you're still breathing, you have purpose and you still can live in God's promises. And even though you messed up for so many years, it doesn't mean that God's promises are voids. God still has planned for you and it's time to get to the other side. If you want, God has the best things for you. I keep on telling people, your potential is greater than you can even imagine. There's potential. There's more. And one of my favorite phrases of all time is it, the best is yet to come. You know, I'll be honest with you. What I'm really tired of is people, and I agree. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying there's like a doom and gloom mentality when I watch the news. Listen, let me just say one thing before I say what I'm going to say. As Christians, we need to be aware of what's going on in the world, because how do you pray for the world if you don't know what's going on? The worst thing we can do is be ignorant. Is this true? So know what's going on in your city. Know what's going on in the world. Don't be ignorant. Watch the news. But here's what I don't want you to have. An Eeyore mentality that you're defeated. What I'm tired of is people who walk around, Christians who walk around saying, I cannot believe what's happening. This world's going to the junk. Where's God in this? And where's God in that? And where's God in this? And I'm like, dude, your God is still on the throne. And it's my scripture says not just that you're conquerors, but you're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. My scripture says, greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. My scripture says there's coming a great revival to the world. And no matter how bleak this gets, the best is still yet to come. If it's gonna end here, guess what? I'm gonna be part of the greatest generation on this earth ever. True? And so it's not a time for us to cower back and tiptoe back and say, oh, this is terrible. But it's a time for us to step forward and say in confidence, just like he told Joshua, wherever you put the sole of your feet, that's where you will have. And so we need to step into that, and we need to cross the other side and say the best is yet to come and pray that out. So show ahead. Next one is this, show up. This is really practical, but my friend John DeGroat, who is a musician and a friend of mine, he's like one of my best friends, he always says something and it just clicks with me. Here's what he says. He says, wherever you are, be there. It's pretty simple, right? Friends, wherever you are, be there. Here's where it makes sense. He says, if you're with people, be there. Don't be someplace else. If you're with your kids, be with your kids. So here's what people always tell me. This generation is dumb because they just pull up their cell phones and they walk around like this. Can I just tell you, every generation has had something like this? Can you put that picture up? Check this out. You with me? What's the difference between a cell phone and that? You know what every problem with every generation is? We miss the most important things. One-on-one relationships. I get people mad at me saying, Jarvis, you just never answer your phone. Here's my deal. I'll try to get back to you. But if I'm meeting with my friend Eric, and we're having a time together, and we're discussing, and my phone keeps on ringing, if it's not my wife, I probably won't answer it. Because here's what I'm telling you. As parents, understand this. And as people understand this. Here's what I teach my leaders and everybody else. I'm having a conversation with Eric. We're going deep together, talking about sports. That's what's happening, right? If I answer my phone call, I'm saying yes to this and no to him. Is that making sense? And when you sit there and just, listen, I need to get better at this myself. My wife and I were talking about no media for a while, because I'm just saying, all of us need to be better at saying, is what you're saying yes to more important than what you're saying no to? Be there. You want to know why your kids are acting up? And you're like, well, my kids are just being crazy. Are you influencing your kids? Because do they, you know what I'm saying? You know, are you spending time with them? Are you checking them off? Listen, I'm a pastor. You know what that means? I have pastor's kids. Anybody know what's crazy about pastor's kids? Like, do you think I'm nervous? Yes, I'm nervous. But I ask questions to people, pastors who have great kids. And I said, what do you do? And he says, and they, when, you know what they all say? The same thing. I make sure my kids always feel they're number one. It goes, God, me and the Lord, me and my wife, me and the kids, and then the church. And one of my pastors said this one time. He says, if I sacrifice my family on the altar of church and I see that's happening, I will resign because it's not healthy for my family. Are you guys? Because you make sure your yes is yes and your no is no. Be there. Wherever you are, be there. Just be present. I'm telling you, for those people who own businesses and have teenagers in business, isn't that the worst thing when they're not present? They're just like, teach people to be present where they're at. Show up. It's interesting. If you want to influence a community, you need to be in the community. Duh. Right? But you need to be there. If you want to influence your family, be there. If you want to influence your neighbors, be there. Be there. Those who invest in others, check this out, those who invest in others inspire others. As I'm being honest this morning, 6 months before Watermark began to happen, before our first service, I went to a conference, and one of my favorite speakers, Mark Batterson, was at this conference, and he was sharing. And if I ask you right now, who knows Mark Batterson, most people would be like, I don't know who that guy is. For me, he's one of the coolest pastors in the nation. He writes some of the coolest books. And in my world, he's a stud. Like, he's like, if I see him, like, it's like, I want to see him and Peyton Manning. That'd be cool for me. Like in my little world. But here's the interesting thing. I was at a conference, and he was speaking. He got off the stage, and this is me being honest. I'm just being real with you guys. He got off the stage, and there's a line of people wanted to talk to him. And I, like, wanted to talk to him, but it's too big of a line. And here's a thought that came to my head, selfish thought. Maybe someday I'll get to that point where people line up and want to talk to me. Isn't that pretty selfish? Anyone else got crazy things that hit your head like that? And then I just took myself away, began to pray and worship, and the Lord spoke to me very clear. And he says, nobody in Stillwater knows who Mark Batterson is that you're trying to reach. That's not the world. And I said, okay, what does that make sense? And he goes, listen, would you rather be famous at a conference or be famous in your community? And would you rather make Jesus famous in your community? And I'm telling you, the game and the whole thing is about Jesus Christ. And raising that banner high, then it's not about our church and about people coming here. It's about people coming to the kingdom of God. And I think that's the goal, just saying people to have a face-to-face encounter, cross that river and go to the other side. Next one is this, show trust. First one was show ahead, then show up, and then show trust. Here's what's interesting about trust is the question I always want to raise with people is, are you trustworthy? This is an interesting question. To you, my dad and I just had this conversation where I think my parents are really trustworthy. Here's what's funny about this. My dad and I were just driving down the road last week, and I brought this thought up about, people's intentions and, you know. And I said this out loud, and somebody told me this a long time ago. He says, we judge ourselves based on our intentions, and we judge others based upon their actions. Isn't that true? So it's easy for us to judge somebody else because we judge them based on their actions, but we justify ourselves because we judge ourselves based on our intentions. I just never got around to doing it. So what's interesting about that is, I'm talking about trustworthy, and here's what's interesting is, some people's words is really not the best thing. For instance, if I take this tape right now, you can use duct tape, you can use anything, and I need to teach this to my kids. What's interesting is, just like your words, the more you put out dirt on it, the less sticky it becomes. Is it making sense? So once I apply this to here, and I rip this off a few times, the more I rip it off and the more I put it down, the less tacky or the sticky it becomes, because it's no longer used. The glue is now sticking stuff to it that doesn't need to be there. Now catch this. So people all say all the time, well, am I a trustworthy person? I don't know, because if you keep on using your words to pick up a lot of dirt and say a lot of dirty things, and you keep on using it to do this, then you are no longer sticky to the people around you. So for instance, lies. You know what as a Christian I hear all the time? People say, well, it wasn't a big lie. It was just a white lie. As parents, I'm telling you right now, a lie to a lie is a lie to a lie. Is this true? Dude, I don't care if it's a white lie. I don't care if you said, well, she did it, not me. I'm sorry, it was my fault. I lied. You know what I'm saying? Here's the deal. I don't know how we get off by saying it was just a small lie, it's okay, because we don't want our kids to do that. But for us, it's okay? Here's this interesting thing. You know why white lies are so bad? Because I tell people all the time, if you can't budget $10, then how can you budget $100? If you can't budget $100, how can you budget $1,000? If you can't budget $1,000, listen, if you can't control a small lie, how can you control a big lie? Well, I just did that because of work. I just did that because I just fudged the numbers a little bit. I just told my friend I was busy, but I really was not busy. I just, you know what I'm saying? I just said this. I'm telling you, I just cheated that game because I thought it would be okay. No one, here's the deal. It's not going to hurt anybody because nobody else is going to know. But here's the problem with that. Number one, you're not thinking about the big picture. One, the Lord knows. And two is, the more you lie, even if it's small lies, the easier it has become. People say, well, how do you lie to your wife? You start by small lies to your wife. Is this making sense? We lose our tackiness, and we're thinking, how do you influence other people? If you're a Christian, and you're trying to share Jesus with your coworkers, but yet you're used to lying to your coworkers, and they know about it, that's going to be a pretty hard witness. For instance, the next one is this, with your words. You know what another tacky thing is? Gossip. This is not something we talk enough about in church. Not because our church is awesome, right? But I'm just saying, and you know, saying sometimes in that water cooler area or whatever, and they might think, oh, that person is just, I just can't stand that person. And you pull somebody away and you're like, can you believe that person? Can you believe what they're doing? Can you believe what she said? Can you believe what he said? Can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit and the Lord's work is to edify and to empower and to build up. So what gossip is you're literally pulling somebody else down, even if they don't know it. You're actually ripping them down, and what you're doing is you're a tool in the hands of the enemy when you do that. I'm trying to be not so honest here, but this is honesty, right? So when we can't control this, our mouth, it becomes no longer sticky, and that's what begins to happen. And so I think it's interesting is that, and that's some things. And the last one is this, show and tell. So you show ahead, then you show up, and you show trust, then you show and tell. Show and tell, anybody remember show and tell in school? Like you would bring like your stuffed animal or your turtle or your pet snake to school, and you'd tell everybody, this is it. Now it's one thing, now think about this. It's one thing if the teacher asked, I remember one time, there was this little boy in our school, I think it was his fourth grade, and it was show and tell day, and I brought one of my toys, and the guy behind me was up next, and he was show and tell, and he forgot his thing, so he literally had to describe what he was going to bring that day. Like, I had this cool toy, and it does this, and does this. I'm just listening to him, it wasn't as cool as it sounds, because I'm like, you know what I'm saying? You weren't showing, you were just telling. You weren't doing the whole thing. And I think what's interesting is, and I shared this a few weeks ago, more is caught than taught. Benjamin Franklin once said it this way. He said, well done is better than well said. Well done is better than well said. Joshua and Moses led by example. They spent time with God. They led people and they marched ahead. They were the first. Now check this out. Both Moses and Joshua, before they shared with their generations, what's going on? Before they shared, they spent their own time hearing from God themselves. They spent time with God. They led by example. And they kept on saying, maybe we've never been there before, but the Lord is telling us that we need to go there. Sometimes you're going to bring people to a place that you have been, and sometimes you're going to bring people to a place you've never been before. And that's where you need the Lord to go before you and lead you in this. This is done by example. So as Watermark Church, here's what I'm telling you. We need, in your spiritual life, parents, grandparents, friends, siblings, coworkers, whatever it is, we need to set the standard and the pace for what God wants to do in the community. You hearing me here? I am not saying that you're going to be perfect. I am the last thing from perfect. What I am saying is I'm tired of people using that excuse, saying, I don't know if I can go. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't influence and invest and love people and bring them along with us. You know what people need to hear? Here it is. People from you don't need to hear you say, you need Jesus. The people in your life need to hear how much I need Jesus. I'm tired of people saying, You need to change. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You know what influences people? Not when I tell people they need Jesus, but when I tell people how much I need Jesus. Because what I'm doing is not pushing. I'm inviting people to be part of a journey that I'm walking on myself. Is that making sense? What you're doing is building a platform of love saying, I'm heading this way. You want to come with me? That you're inviting and you're sharing. My dad used to tell me growing up all the time, he says, your life is a Bible that most people will ever read. Your life is the Bible that most people will ever read. St. Francis of Assisi said it this way. I love what he said, and he says this. He says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. It's interesting, in my own life, people say, you should practice what you preach. Pastors say that sometimes. You know, we should practice what you preach. But when you come think about it, actually, what you practice is what you preach. What you live out is what your sermon is. What you do, listen, it's not just important what you do on Sundays. It's what matters is what you do on Mondays. Because that's the sermon that you're preaching. How are you conducting yourself on Monday and Tuesday? What's your patient level? What's your love level? What's your love tank? What are you doing? What are you showing people? How is that being revealed? And next month, you can put this picture up of the Do for One, Doug. Next month, we're going to do a series called Do for One, which is our Here, There, and Everywhere missions push. I'm telling you, next month, starting July, all we're going to do is missionaries going to come in, and all we're going to do, even in the midst of chaos of the church building, we're going to do for one projects. What's mean this? Do for one what you wish you could do for everybody. Last year, we handed out balloons in parks. We went to the laundromat and put quarters in machines all night from Watermark Church and gave out free washes. We went to Cub Foods and we bagged groceries for free for no reason. That was fun, right? Crazy conversations. I'm telling you, in the midst of it, if we can lead forward in love, and I love what Meg says, and be that cozy blanket over the community, what has God called us to do? You're going to everybody stand up. Dana and Brina, can you come up here? My challenge for you is this. At the very end, I just want to say this. How are you? How is your influence? I just want to ask you this question. How is your influence in your world? Now, here's the deal. I want to break this down because I think too many people are saying, you need to go out there. You need to change your world. You're going to change the whole world. And when I heard that as a kid, I was like, wow, I'm going to be a missionary to every continent in the world. I'm going to change everything. And really what it breaks down to is this. God does not ask you to change the whole world. He's asked you to influence your world, which means this. Your sphere of influence, which means the world that you live in, which means where you work, where you get groceries, your family, your neighborhood, your community. How are we called to change what God has given us? Because what God has given you is your sphere of influence, is what is the promises that God has given you. You're not responsible for everybody, but you are responsible for a few. You're not responsible for everything, but you're responsible for what God has given you. So the question is this, with what God has given you, how are you using it to influence people to cross the other side? How are you using your work, your gifts, your talents, your finances? How are you using your energy, your mindsets? How are you using these things to influence the world that God has given you? Just like the church, we say, if Watermark never existed, if today we were all gone, would the community know that we were gone? Did we make enough impact in the community after 3 years that we would be missed? So the question for you is this, you, put you on that scale. Because here's the deal. Even though you don't see yourself that way, God does. Even though you might not believe in yourself and think that you can do it, God does. Even though you think, I don't have a lot to offer, God does. Even though you think, woe is me. Life is just giving me one curveball after another. Dude, you just hit some home runs. You might strike out a few times, but I'm telling you, keep swinging the bat. Listen. Babe Ruth, home run leader. He's also the strikeout leader. Is this true? Because he kept on just swinging the bat. He's not in the Hall of Fame for his strikeouts. He's in the Hall of Fame for his home runs because he just said, you just got to swing that bat. Listen, when life throws your curveball, just swing for the fences. Aim for the fences. Stop living in worst case scenario. Well, it's never going to work out. I don't see the end. The best is yet to come. Is this true? Give God the best with what you have. Give your finances the best of the Lord. Give your time the best of the Lord. Give your family. Some people, I'm telling you right now, at the end of the service today, some of the people need to come down the altar and you're like, I don't know what is going on with my kids. They're not even serving the Lord. I'm telling you, you need to come to the altar and lay your kids down and just say, God, I surrender. What do I need to do as a parent? How can I pray this through? Your marriage might be in shambles. You need to lay it down and say, God, help me to cross this river. I don't know what to do. I think that's the part of it that we just need to be honest. Everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. If you're here this morning and you're just saying, this might be your first time. Maybe you're standing on the edge. You see yourself and you're standing on the edge of the river. And the Lord, the Jesus Christ himself, is asking you to step out. He's saying, come, step out, step out. Come to me. You've never made that commitment to the Lord. And you've been nervous to, you've been afraid to. You're like, if I commit to the Lord, what's he going to have me do? Is this going to be weird? I'm telling you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has chosen you. He has set you on purpose. And if it was only you, he still would have went to the cross just for you. No one's looking around. If you're here this morning, you're saying, I want to commit my life to the Lord. I want to surrender my heart to the Lord. This is not the final. This is the starting point. This is saying, I want to start a journey with the Lord today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Don't be afraid. I see it. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. 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 Love it. Love it. Love it. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I've been doing it myself, and I always make a mess. But be the Lord of my life. Forgive me my sins. Help me to see you. Holy Spirit, come in. Fill me up. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If that's you and you raise your hand, I want to talk with you. We want people to pray with you. The next one is this. Let's just be real. We got, 10 minutes? 10 minutes! Good job, Jarvis. I know. Good. Here's what we're going to do. You have no need to rush. No need. Even if you raise your hand for the first time, come forward. Here's what we're going to do. Maybe you want, there's some communion in the back. We do corporate communion together. We also do individual. Some people are going to put some things on the cross. But here's my deal for you. What in your life is God asking you to be stretched in? What's your next step? What do you got to surrender? What do you got to lay down? What do you got to give up? We're going to go into worship for a few minutes. If you want to find a spot, I'm just asking you to take a step. If you want to take a step to an aisle down here in the back, if you want to kneel down, that's awesome. But let's just enter in this morning, amen? Let's enter in this morning.